The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome this morning to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to you all in person and to you who may be online. Wherever you're coming from, whatever you're bringing with you from this week, it's our prayer that you will experience the living and restorative presence of Jesus Christ here today. I have a couple announcements. In Holman Hall, on the table, there are the end-of-year giving statements. So if you've given for any reason to the church over the past year, we're required to give you a giving statement. And those are in Holman Hall. We're trying to save on postage. So if you would make your way down there after service and pick up yours, and if you see somebody who hasn't picked up theirs, who's next to you today, and give them theirs, that would be very helpful. I also wanted to bring to your attention two Bible studies that are about to begin. First, the Women's Bible Study, starting Thursday, February 5th, 9:30 a.m. They'll be studying the book Jesus and Women by Christy McClelland. They have loved those Bible studies by Christy, so they're going to do another one. And if you have time on Thursday, you are most welcome to join. You can talk to Paula Curl if you have any questions about that. We're also starting another study, one that I'm leading for our sort of spring/Lenten study. And the book is this one, Junk Drawer Jesus. Junk Drawer Jesus, Discarding Your Spiritual Clutter and Rediscovering the Supremacy of Grace. We're still sort of deciding on a time, but it looks like it will be either Mondays or Wednesday mornings, starting the same first week of February. So if you're interested, please come and talk to me after service. And of course, I would tell you, even if you're not going to join the study, that you should buy these books, both either the Women's Study book or this one, because they're good things to have. Please join us following worship on January 25th, for our annual congregational meeting. All members have a vote, and so your presence there is needed. We'll be voting on a number of things, including the nominating committee for 2026, some pastoral terms of call, as well as hear reports from the committees of the church. And of course, as always, join us following worship in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please rise as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, and I will extol you.
Same God who has gathered you to worship now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the promise of baptism, you have made us your children and heirs with Christ. Grant us boldness to cry out, Abba, Father, resting in the assurance of your love. Empower us to live in the freedom of that amazing grace which is your glory and our inheritance. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change, and open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more into your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since we have been reconciled to God in Jesus Christ, let us be reconciled to one another, sharing the peace only Christ can give. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You're invited to share signs of Christ's peace with one another. Right now, I don't see any children, but we're still going to have our children's message. You'll notice something a little bit different about our space this morning, and more of that to come. But this morning, I want to read this book, At Your Baptism. So listen now. At your baptism, God tells you that. For Jesus Christ came into the world. You were baptized because you belong to God and to God's family. Your baptism is a time to see and hear God's promises. God sent his son Jesus into the world to become human like us,
but without sin. For you, Jesus lived and showed God's love. While he lived on earth, Jesus was a healer, a teacher, a friend, and so much more. For you, he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, "It is finished." Jesus showed his great love for us by dying on the cross. The Bible tells us that Jesus' death takes away the sins of the world. For you, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. Death was not the end. Jesus came back to life. Now we can live each day with God's power. We can die and live with God forever. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. When Jesus left the earth, he returned to heaven. He talks to God the Father about us and sent the Holy Spirit to be with us all the time. All this Jesus did for you before you knew anything of it. Jesus lived, died, and rose for us because he loves us. We don't have to do anything to earn his love. And so the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. We see God's love for us through Jesus. Jesus shows us how to love so that we can love God and other people. When you think about your baptism, remember that God loves you. Remember that you are part of God's worldwide family. No one can take these promises away from you, ever. The end. Will you pray with me? This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God, thank you for showing us how much you love us in our baptism.
Help us
to spread your love
to one another
and the whole wide world. In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
As we turn to the Word of God, let us pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This is the second Sunday in a series that we've started for this new year called Gospel Living. Gospel Living. Again, as if you weren't here last week, the gospel is not just something we think, not just something we believe, and not even just something we proclaim, but it is something that we live. What I said in the sermon last week is that the gospel, when we believe it, when it claims us, it will transform us to live a certain way in the world. And so the church is called to embody this way of living and so show the world what it means that Jesus is for us. And so each week we're going to take up a different, maybe what you call a sub-theme of the gospel and how God is calling us then to live. And so as we turn to God's word, we hear from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Listen now to God's word. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ Jesus has welcomed you for the glory of God. In 1958, the poet Langston Hughes wrote a short story entitled, "Thank You, Ma'am." Perhaps you've heard of it. The story only has two characters, a boy, Roger, and, I quote, "a large woman with a large purse," by the name of Miss Luella Bates Washington Jones. Luella was walking home late one night in Harlem when Roger ran up and tried to steal her purse. Before he could run away, Luella got a firm grasp on his shoulder and would not let him go. He's in for it, we think, because Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones is not someone to be trifled with. She asks him why he tried to snatch her bag, and after telling a couple of lies, which she calls him on, Roger comes clean. He wanted money. Money to buy blue suede shoes. Now again, this isn't the 1950s, so the songs are out there. He was not acting out of hunger or desperation, but pure greed. Roger assumes that she is going to haul him off to jail. But instead, she does something unexpected. She takes him home with her. She washes his face, and she tells him that she knows what it's like to want things you can't get. In lieu of further lecture, she cooks him a meal, a feast in his childlike eyes. This has a strange effect on Roger. In her home, Luella had placed her purse on a daybed where it would have been easy for him to grab it and bolt. But now he no longer wants to. She didn't ask the boy anything about where he lived or his folks or anything else that would embarrass him. Instead, as they ate, she told him about her job in a hotel beauty shop that stayed open late. Then she cut him a half of her 10-cent cake. "Eat some more, son," she said. When they were finished eating, she got up and said, "Now here, take this $10 and buy yourself some blue suede shoes." She led him down the hall to the front door and opened it. "Good night, behave yourself, boy," she said. The boy wanted to say something other than, "Thank you, ma'am," but he couldn't. He barely managed to say thank you before she shut the door, and he never saw her again. Christ has welcomed you. Author Ray Ortland says this is the gospel in four words. Christ has welcomed you. For at its heart, the good news which we proclaim is about divine hospitality. Divine hospitality. Now, I don't think we're used to thinking of it this way. I suspect most people imagine the gospel like a courtroom. God sits over there as judge, and we stand accused. We are guilty, of course, but not to worry, because we have this nice little get-out-of-jail-free card, Jesus. So God has no choice but to say, "Not guilty, you're free, to go. Now, the problem with this image is that it makes the good news into a mere transaction. Believing in Jesus becomes just a hoop that you have to go through, jump through, to get God off your back. And God only reluctantly obliges. But this is foreign to the way the Bible talks about the good news. Going back to Romans, the Apostle Paul describes the gospel as God's hospitality towards those who were far off, who were strangers. Christ welcomes us. Welcome, a word which in the bare Greek here has the sense of taking to oneself, receiving to oneself. It is the image of a full embrace. So it cannot be a reluctant, oh, you're free to go, but an unconditional invitation to come in. This is the picture that we see in Hughes's story. Roger is guilty of a real crime, and he knows it. But instead of getting what he deserved, he's cleaned up and given a feast. There are no threats or conditions, only outrageous hospitality. Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones becomes the giver of mercy and grace without question. And Roger finds himself changed. It is the same for you and me. When you are still far off, a stranger to God, even more than that, set against God with your whole being, even then, Christ died and rose again in order to bring you close, to reconcile you to the Father, to make you a child of God, to welcome you to God's table. An abundant feast of mercy and grace. If we go back to our image, it's really that the judge has come down from the bench and he's taken you home. He's cleaned you up and given you food. He's claimed you now and forever as his beloved child. You see, the arms of Christ, which hung on the cross, are the very same which he opens wide to embrace you as his own. And in the waters of baptism, he has cleansed you. And in the Lord's Supper, he has set before you a feast. Christ has welcomed you. So what does this now mean for how we are to live? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us we are to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed us. Both as Christians and as a church, we are called to be characterized, to desire, to exude outrageous and unconditional hospitality. This is not the kind of hospitality that we see so common in American culture, whether it's just we'll be nice and smile, but you know, you don't want to be too real because somebody might find something out about you. Or on the other hand, a kind of hospitality that's performative, just trying to show off how great we are. Look at the kind of party I can throw. No, this is not the kind of hospitality that the scriptures speak of. Our hospitality and welcome must be nothing less than the radical taking of another to ourselves, embracing the other, even and especially when they don't look like us or talk like us or think like us. or even, and this is the hardest, even when they have wronged us, we are to embrace them. In this way, we witness by our deeds to the outrageous mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And as an aside, we show the world just what kind of Christians we are by the way that we welcome and treat the other, the stranger, the sojourner, the immigrant in our midst. We are to open wide our arms and hearts in love to say to the other, you are not alone. You are forgiven. Come, find your home here. God has a place for you. It doesn't have to be big or even earth-shattering. The small things build up and have an impact. But in a time that we live in of growing isolation, alienation, loneliness, polarization, and conflict, this is the way to heal and to make whole. We are to extend to others that same unconditional welcome which we first received. To be, as it were, the Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Joneses of the world through whom Christ will transform all things. This kind of welcome is not easy, but it is who we are called to be and what we are called to do. Jesus Christ has welcomed us who were once far off and met us with his outrageous, unconditional mercy and grace. So let us welcome one another. Let us welcome the stranger, the sojourner, the lonely, the outcast, just as Christ has welcomed us. And may it be all for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Christ has welcomed us. And where else do we find this than in the waters of baptism, where Christ has claimed us named us, accepted us as his own, his children forever. And so today we come to the font not to baptize another, but to reaffirm the covenant that God has made with us in baptism, to restate the promises that God said to you, whether you were baptized as a child or as an adult or anywhere in between. We come again to hear God's promises and to live the way of Christ underwater, the waters of baptism. So hear these words now from Holy Scripture. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too might we walk in newness of life. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our baptism is the sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and our being grafted into Christ. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of sin was broken, and God's kingdom entered our world. Through baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and freed from the bondage of sin. So let us celebrate that freedom and redemption bought by Christ through the renewal of the promises made at our baptisms. I ask you, therefore, to once again reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith into which you were baptized. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you?
I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? Do you?
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
I will, without fail.
With the whole church, then, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, we give you thanks, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and from death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it we were buried with Christ in his death. From it we were raised to share in his resurrection. Through it we were reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we celebrate our fellowship in him by faith. We pray that all who have passed through the waters of baptism may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. Remember your baptism, in which you were welcomed, named, claimed, and set free by the triune God forever, and live with thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you have shown us outrageous and unconditional hospitality. By water and the Spirit, you have claimed us as your own and made for us a place in your kingdom forever. Grant that we, living in your grace and mercy, would welcome one another in the same radical way and all for your glory. Hear us now, O Lord, as we pray, for the church and the world, each according to their need. Heavenly Father, you are sovereign over all the earth, and your reign extends to all nations. Deliver us, O God, from our warring madness. Bring an end to our strife. Heal our land. Empower us to be agents of your peace and instill in us a greater knowledge that all people are created in your image, worthy of dignity and honor. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, kindle in us a flame of sacred love, bringing to life our too often cold hearts. We lift to you all this day who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, and for those situations which need your care, especially those we name before you in this moment. Comfort, heal, and give new life, we pray. O Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we commend into your hands these our prayers, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we make our prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, let us offer our life and labors unto God.
us pray. Almighty God, of whose own gifts alone we can give to you, since all we have is yours, accept these offerings which we present, and grant that with them we may have grace to present ourselves as living sacrifices to the praise of your name, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us fill our house where love can.
from this place to welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed you, and all for the glory of God. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.